Now being joined in the studio by our guests are Frankfort Building Inspector Sam Payne, Frankfort Street Superintendent Jason Forsythe. Gentlemen, good morning. How you doing?
Good morning, Ken.
So what's happening in the world of everybody over there? So, Sam, you want to start first and see what's going on?
Well, we have quite a bit going on. We got construction going on at Donaldson's. They're doing their earth moving, getting ready to do their footers and pour their slab. That first inspection out there will be Monday.
Okay.
And the medical facility is about to finish up. Kevin Catron and myself will be doing a walkthrough on the 15th.
Now you're talking about the one across from Walmart.
The one across from Walmart,
okay.
Yes.
All right.
They're going to be finishing up that facility here. It should be by the end of the month. They should have their CO in hand.
Okay. Donaldson's right on schedule for their project out there?
Yes, they are.
Okay.
They've got their state design release and permits to do the footers and the floor.
Okay.
And we're still waiting for the state to release the design work for the structure.
Okay. Jason, what about your end?
We're just actually starting leaf collection today, Ken. Getting ready for winter. Getting all the plows ready, getting all the salt beds on the trucks, just preparing for winter. Guys have finished up all the street signs in town, and just a lot going on. As far as the department goes, though, just like I said, getting ready for winter, getting the leaf collection started in the southeast today. So normal days here lately, you know, obviously with trash and recycle and obviously a lot of projects going on our end as well.
Does the forecast, which has got a little bit of everything in it, does that change the way you prepare to go out and take care of the streets?
As far as leaves go?
No, I'm talking about as far as like if they're going to call for rain and snow or just snow or whatever. Does that change any which way you go about doing things?
Oh, yeah. I mean, obviously, if you know, you're dealing with ice and things like that versus snow, there's a whole lot of difference. We obviously keep a close eye on the weather all the time. We've kind of been looking at Friday, and so there might be a mixture there. So, you just got to play it by ear and just be prepared. For what whatever comes our way. So, want to be ready when the time comes.
Well, the first part of the week they were saying freezing rain, and now today they said we're gonna get an inch of snow possibly. So who the heck knows?
Yeah, you got to treat it a certain way. Obviously freezing rain, you're just gonna go out and salt, try to get the intersections cleared up as quick as you can. And a lot of times, you get the intersections real well, the cars will take that on down the roadway a little bit, and things can dry up pretty quick depending on how much you get. And snow, an inch of snow, depending on what you're going to get after that or what you get before that, sometimes you don't even need to do any kind of plowing at all. So it just depends on what happens before and after.
Okay. Sam, you guys doing pretty well at the hearing authority. Is that doing exactly what you wanted it to do?
Yeah, I believe it is. We just had a meeting 2 weeks ago, and I think it's doing real well. We're getting quite a bit accomplished moving fine.
Now, are the majority of those places that were taken down, are they starting to get back on the tax rolls as you'd hoped?
Well, some of them are, not all of them. We've got a few that's not back on the tax rolls yet, but there's some vacant lots there that people are interested in and have been calling in to see what they need to do to be able to purchase those lots.
Now, should we expect this about the same amount of work from the hearing authority next year? Because I think it is there still a lot of them that you'd like to get down and take care of, or how you want to go about that?
Yeah, we've got a few that we need to look at, but what we really want to do is get inside those buildings and check the structure and make sure that it's structural related to go before the hearing authority.
Okay.
Instead of just, a vacant property that might look like crap on the outside, and you go around and you can find minor things that need to be fixed. We need to get inside and look at the basements, if there is a basement there, and be able to look at the structure itself to see if there's any damage to that would be a safety issue. we've got, I believe, we've got a majority of those that were really in bad shape that needed to come down. I believe those have been cleaned up. I know we've had some with trees growing on the inside. And we've had some where it's just the structure itself has just been gone. But it's we're getting the majority of those taken care of.
Now I didn't mean to interrupt you, but are a lot of those owned by absentee owners who don't basically live here, or they just don't care, or is it about a 50-50 mix now?
About 50-50.
Oh, okay.
We've got some posted right now that are unfit for human occupancy, and the owners know that. They know what they've got to do. We've told them what they need to do in order to bring them back up to compliance, and they're working that way. It's going to take a while for them to get things fixed the way they need to be fixed, but they're still keeping the properties maintained as far as the yard mowed and stuff cleaned up.
Okay. Jason, you guys got some really good news yesterday when you got your community crossings coming in yesterday. Talk a little bit about how you're going to use that, go about it, and so on.
Well, I mean, we obviously applied for the projects, as part of the grant, so we know what we're going to be paving, and we'll probably release that here sometime in the future. We're looking at, we want to get it bidded as quick as we can possibly get it bidded, because obviously, it coming out late in the year this year, we're not going to be able to do any paving this late in the year. So, we wanted to hop on that first grant opportunity. Like I said, got great news back yesterday. We're getting everything we asked for, and going to be able to do about $920,000 worth of paving in the city, which is awesome. So, get through the bid process, get a contractor scheduled. You don't necessarily want to get that done too early, because asphalt costs can go up and down. So you want to be real careful about how you go about the bid process, but you also want to, make sure you lock down a contractor too, because everybody is going to be doing the same thing come springtime. So, we want to get on that list and be able to be prepared to pave, in the springtime when it starts to warm up. So, usually it's late March, when the asphalt companies open up anyway, so we probably won't do any paving before that. Just getting that bid process taken care of and being smart about, you don't want to end up losing some money, to speak, because, you get a higher bid, because you're doing it too early. So, we've been talked about that a little bit after Board of Works yesterday. And, I'll be working with Les here, towards the end of the year to get that process started. So,
if you had a perfect situation come up, when would you like to start next year?
Probably no earlier than April. You don't want to do it when it's cold.
Right.
You make a big mistake. So you want to make sure that the good weather's here, and here to stay. We have to have it, we have to have it contracted, I think it's April, the end of April 2019, have a contract in hand and in state aware of who that is, which obviously won't be any problem at all. But you don't want to do it too early and you don't want to do it too late. I think it definitely makes a difference as to the kind of product you end up with. To open up that email yesterday was super exciting.
How many roads, about how many roads and for road projects you want to try and get done with that money that you're going to have?
We're going to do about 14, I believe.
Okay.
13 to 14 for sure. There was one particular section of roadway that we had in there that we found out it actually was an alleyway we're looking at, so we're looking at least 13. And most of those are pretty good sized projects. North Clay is one of those on the list, from Kiger all the way to Washington Avenue, which is in bad shape, and it's become worse this year because of all the work that, Vectren and Patton's been doing down there. Another section is, basically Kelly Road from, Alhambra to, Jackson or State Road 39 there in front of the schools. Buses use that quite a bit. That's another one that's on the list. You know, if you remember right, we did a small fix to Boomer Street. We're going to completely mill and resurface Boomer Street and get it done correctly and get it done properly. So, yeah, I mean, there's several on the list that we're going to be working on, and just excited to get it going.
Now, just make sure that people understand, you know, the projects you're going to do for that have nothing to do with projects like Washington Avenue or State Road 28 or anything like that.
No, these are all separate. While you're on Washington Avenue, Washington Avenue is a whole different project. We're working on two phases of Washington Avenue. The first phase has been awarded to Atlas Excavating. We actually, I believe, have a pre-con meeting November 27th for that, where all the entities, subcontractors and Atlas and the city and the sewer department, waterworks, whoever's involved utility-wise here, will sit down with the state and go over a pre-con meeting, and we'll get the opportunity to see how things are going to proceed from there. But that is totally different than any of these other 13 projects. And then phase one will go from Williams to Hoke. Phase two will go from Williams down to basically the post office. Those are projects we're working on, excited about those as well.
Has the roads that you've done, have they held up like you had hoped?
Yeah,
to so far,
I believe so. Obviously, you get street cuts, you get water main breaks, you know, that are frustrating. There was two pretty good size. There was a sewer issue on Green Street, and right next to it was an issue that Vectren ran into and Patton ran into, that they had to go deeper than they thought they were going to have to go to reach the pipe that they were looking for. So those things are frustrating, but they're out of anybody's hands. You know, you're going to have utility issues. You're going to have things like that that happen that you have to patch up. But, you know, when we do those jobs, you know, Sam and I pay close attention to those, and we try to make sure those are taken care of properly when it's all done.
Okay, I'm going to go ahead and take a break here. Our sponsors are Welty Custom Exteriors, Susan Casper State Farm Insurance, Sparrow's Florist and Greenhouse, and Compass Credit Union, Milner Healthcare, Ivy Tech Community College, Simple Time Antiques, along with ClintonCountyDailyNews.com. We'll be right back.
Your free local online newspaper, ClintonCountyDailyNews.com, is your number one resource for information as you need it right at your fingertips. We have news, weather, sports, obituaries, the WILO program schedule, over 40,000 community photos, online surveys, community events, and WILO TV archives. Plus, click on the info tab to find out how you can contact your local and state representatives. Find out what the buzz is all about. ClintonCountyDailyNews.com.
The Dave Ramsey Show, where common sense meets dollars and cents.
If you live with a plan, that's called a budget. You live on less than you make, so that you're saving money. You're always giving some money, and you avoid debt. If you'll keep working with those basic principles, you'll become wealthy over time. Hey, you guys, your 16-year-old's watching, by the way. Your 12-year-old's watching. You want to teach them how to handle money? Rachel Cruz says it all the time. More is caught than taught. They're going to do what you do, not what you talk about.
Dave Ramsey, weekdays 4 to 5 on WILO.
People ask a lot of questions about Ivy Tech Community College. Like, can an Ivy Tech degree get me a good career? Well, some say good, and some say great. In 2 years or less, you can earn an associate degree or certificate, qualifying you for some of Indiana's fastest-growing career fields, and earning you an average of $37,777 the first year after graduation. Find your answers at ivytech.edu/FAQ. Then apply for free at ivytech.edu.
Hi, I'm Michelle with Simple Time Antiques and Primitives, where you can surround yourself with the things you love. Antiques, home decor, and much more. We can help turn your house into a home. Walk into a simpler time of candles, home accents, furniture, and more, all in a warm atmosphere. Open Tuesday through Saturday from 10 to 5, Simple Time Antiques and Primitives, the aroma of home. Half block west of the Frankfurt Square on Clinton Street. And remember to always surround yourself with the people and the things you love.
One place it makes no sense to shortcut or put off is putting a quality roof over your head. That's what Welty has been doing since 1937.
Hi, Ryan Welty here. You can count on us to take care of you with honest advice, excellent materials, and quality construction backed up with our Welty promise. Remember, above all, a good roof.
Don't forget about Welty's 50-year metal roof, too. Serving Central Indiana from 1-800-466-4444. 7231.
This is Party Line on WILO AM and FM. Phone lines are open. Locally call 659-3338 or call toll-free in Kokomo and Lafayette at 1-800-447-4463. Now, let's rejoin Party Line on 1570 AM and 96.9 FM WILO.
Welcome back to Party Line. Our sponsors are Welty Custom Exteriors, Susan Casper State Farm Insurance, Sparrow's Florist and Greenhouse, Encompass Credit Union, Milner Healthcare, Ivy Tech Community College, Simple Time Antiques, along with ClintonCountyDailyNews.com. Our in-studio guests are Frankfort Building Inspector Sam Payne and Frankfort Street Superintendent Jason Forsyth. Jason, we were talking between the break. The leaf collection starts today over in the southeast quadrant.
Right.
But also we got some, you're going to go to your four quadrants, but also you want to make sure, so people understand, I know they don't always do this, where do you want to have the leaves at, and how's the best way for people to go ahead and do that?
The best place for us is between the sidewalk and the curb. In my media release that I released to the Times and to you all and everyone, we want to, obviously we have the vacuum tube on that, on those machines, and we can reach, if we're alongside the curb, we can reach those areas. If you get them out in the street, which I've seen a ton of so far this year, it becomes a problem sometimes for us, because if you put them out in the street and then you got a car on each side of them, it's really difficult to get in there to get them, and it creates a huge problem for the sewer department and the drainage for the storm drains that we have out there in the roadway. If they blow them out there and they get into the drains, it becomes a huge issue for them. If they can keep those keep the leaves on the between the sidewalk and the curb in their location, keep them out of the street if at all possible. Obviously, we can't worry about what blows out in the street, but to have someone just rake them out into the street, we want people to discontinue doing that because it does create an issue for utilities, and then it takes them away from other things that they have to do each and every day, like the rest of the department. So I wanted to specifically touch on that to try to keep those out of the road.
Sam, we were also talking here during the break, the fact is people are still putting them around the drains and around the grates and just making it more of a problem than it needs to be, correct?
That's correct. Yesterday, I seen three different locations where they had raked the leaves out into the street next to the curb, but there are drains and in two separate piles, one on one side of a drain and one on the other side of the drain. I don't know how many times Jason and I have been on and we've talked about this, that those leaves get down in those drains, and those drains have got a cap in the middle of them, and those leaves plug that thing up, and then if we get a rain on top of that, it just floods the streets. So we need to keep them between the sidewalk and curb, like Jason said. And
then also it becomes, when that happens, ice has a tendency to occur, start to occur when, especially when, like for a forecast like tonight, you can get, that starts to flood, then it starts to ice out in that area.
Freezes up, then your water's across the street, and then that freezes up, and that proposes a problem at an intersection or whatever where there's ice across the street, but it's there because the drains are plugged up and the water couldn't get away.
Would it do any good in your guys' mind to put markings on the curbs or put signs out there that would say, this is where we need to put these things? I know I see Sam shaking his head there, but...
Yeah, that would be a big
nightmare,
and it'd be a big bunch of work for the guys already. When we go down through there, Ken, if we're up near a drain, we always go over the top of the drain with the vac too, obviously to help the sewer department out, to keep them from having to go out there. But I've been around where there's been piles that are sitting directly over the top of a drain.
Mm-hmm.
You vacuum all that big pile of leaves, and at the bottom of it's a drain. And, but even if they're not covered, when my guys are going down that curb, a lot of times they'll go over the top of those drains to try to take everything out of there as they can anyway.
Right.
We try to do our part. We just need people to put them up off of the roadway and away from those drains as much as possible.
And the other big thing is that it has to be leaves. Don't put any other yard waste, sticks or whatever.
Please no. It's not a huge expense, and it's not a fairly difficult fix. But it can clog those vacs up. We have to leave, go back to the shop, get everything done, taken care of, and drive back out to where we left off and start all over again. So, you know, we still do brush in the wintertime just like we do in the summertime and springtime. You know, call in your brush, but please put it separately from the leaf piles so we're not, you know, because, you know, we'll have people that will put brush at the bottom, put the leaves on top. The guys are sitting there going through, vacuuming the leaves out, and next thing you know, we're sucking sticks up into the vac tube, and that can create an issue. I mean, those things are pretty heavy duty tubes, but you know, if you get one cracked or something like that, a lot of times we try to, you know, as much as duct taping them to be able to keep moving, but at some point in time, you know, it gets to a point where you have to replace it.
Is wet leaves a big problem for you guys or not?
Wet leaves are not easy, obviously, to vac up. They're not easy to sweep up with the sweepers. You know, I noticed that's the reason I tried to really get on it. You know, I was going to wait till Monday, but I started seeing people working leaves, but also seeing, you know, where we'd had some rain. Obviously, you don't want to get to that point to where you have difficulty getting them into the vac.
Okay, we got a caller here for you. Caller, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Yes, good morning, everybody.
Hi, Carl.
Jason, I got a question. I don't even know whether you're in charge of this or not.
Okay.
Some of the streets in Frankfort, it's probably hard for you to get your trucks down through there because they park on both sides, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah, that's true.
Have you ever considered making some streets one way?
Never really considered one way. We have done some different streets where we've went to the Board of Works, sir, and had them put that down to where we have parking just on the one side. But that also creates issues, creates problems for people. You know, we try to, when we do that, we try to go down through and make sure people have rear parking and off the street parking as much as we can. We did that on Armstrong, and there was a few people that weren't happy with our decision, but also one of our trucks had a mirror darn near took off down there during plowing season a couple years ago because someone we were already there. Someone decided to come down through there and try to fit between two vehicles, hit our vehicle, hit a vehicle on the other side, and then kept going. So, you know, we try to take into consideration different sections of road. The end of East Jefferson Street that butts up against the cemetery is a difficult area where we, you know, if people can park off the road and in a driveway or behind their house, that helps us out so much. And sometimes we wouldn't have to worry about if people parked in their drive or behind their house where they had available parking rather than on the road, we probably wouldn't have to do much of the one-side parking if everyone parked where they had availability.
Yes. Hey, thanks a lot, and you guys have a wonderful weekend.
You too.
Okay, thanks, Carl. Appreciate it. Jason, one thing I was going to ask you is that would it be better if when people know it's going to snow or it's, you know, whatever, would it be better if people parked off the street so you can get the whole street taken out of there? Or, you know, how would you best recommend that you guys would like to be able to deal with that?
Yeah, I mean, just like I just said, you know, one of the things that, you know, I brought up in the last show, we talked about our night shift, and one of the things, you know, we try to take advantage of there is if people are, when people are gone at work during the evening and the nighttime, it seems like the streets are a little clearer. But, you know, anytime you see a large snowstorm coming, if you can, you know, put your car off the roadway in your drive, obviously I don't want people to have to, you know, have issues getting out of their vehicle, their driveways and anything. I'm not asking that. But anything they can do, because it would help us get the snow away from the front of their home as well, but it would help us clear the entire street. You know, we fight that downtown every year. You know, we try to get up there as early as we can, and obviously it depends on when. If you get a 10 o'clock in the morning snow, you know, you're pretty well doomed until that evening when everything clears out to try to clear out around downtown. So you can take that and put it with the rest of the city, and anytime someone can park in a drive or behind their house is definitely a positive for us.
Okay. Sam, what's the latest and greatest on the Historical Commission?
They're They're doing real well. We have about, I'd say on the average, 4 or 5 per month requests to do different things in the historical districts of the city. I think last month was an exception. We didn't have a meeting due to the fact that I, for one, was on vacation that week, and we did not have any requests turned in. Hmm. They've kind of set up a procedure and a policy that you have to have, if you're in the historical district and you want to do work to the house, to the structure of the building, you have to have that material in the week before the meeting so that it can be prepared and put in a packet, and the packet goes in their mailbox, and then the historical committee will come into Judy's office, and they'll pick up their packets, and each packet will have what we're doing. And last month, nobody got anything in, so we called Kevin and Jason, and they said, well, we don't have anything for the committee, and you're going to be out. We'll just cancel the meeting. So we posted it as canceled. And
are you guys going to be making any big changes coming up next year?
That I cannot answer. That will be up to the president and vice president of the historical. I'm just there as a...
I know that. I didn't know if you already do something.
I don't. I know they're working on some wording and some different language and putting in the standards, but I don't know how far along that is or where they're at with it. That's something that they're doing, and we'll have to review that and see how it goes.
Okay. Jason, what's the latest on the local tracks?
Haven't really heard much, Ken. I was going to touch on that. I'm glad you asked. Obviously, the last 3, I think I told you we did have our interview over there, and I think it went extremely well. But we were like the 7th interview, and I think they had 28 grants, 28 different communities to interview, which, you know, they were half-hour time slots, but they do them in different locations. So I know the states are really working hard to get that taken care of, and we will hopefully hear something. They really didn't give us any date, but we're hoping to maybe hear something here, first of next month maybe or something like that to what happened.
I kind of thought I thought they were supposed to originally let you know this month, but I'm sure that's probably changed.
Well, the community crossings was supposed to be this month.
Okay.
So maybe that's where it is, because I can't remember, it was a couple of weeks ago, we were at the our interview, and they said we were the 7th of 28, so they've still got quite a few to do. I do know that they were going to announce the CCMG the first of the month, because right. September 28th was the closing date for CCMG. And then they used the month of October to look at the grants, and then they awarded, obviously, yesterday.
In your mind, how much would the an overpass change things out on this side of town?
I can't stress the importance of that. I talked in the last show about, obviously, the importance of safety for our public safety and for our citizens on both sides of the tracks. The safety for our firefighters and our police officers, like I said, I sit in dispatch many years and had to tell an officer that's on a domestic, well, you know, we got a train on the track, it's here, it's there, try to give them an area where they can get across. If you're that one officer on one side and you're waiting for your buddies to get there, I can say that's probably the biggest thing, and a fire, if you're a firefighter from Station 3 and you're fighting a fire on one side and you're waiting for the rest of the guys to show up to help, those are the important things. And then obviously the importance for our industry. Scott Haynes is a good friend of mine at Bailey Trucking, and Scott works with NHK hand in hand every day, and they've had things shut down at NHK. Because they're waiting to get trucks across the tracks and back across the tracks. ADM, during the season, there's trucks lined up left and right out there that are having to wait to get into to ADM. So I think those two benefits alone are huge. And there's also, the community knows that there's always that area if they need to get across to get somewhere where they're needing to go, there is that availability. So,
yep. I'm waiting for the first time where an ambulance can't get stuck and can't get across.
Yeah, those three things. And obviously, I include public safety. In public safety, the ambulance. We have a huge retirement center in Wesley Manor and convalescent center out there that takes care of people all the time and has hundreds of residents that we need to get ambulances to, or we need to get help to. So obviously all kinds of constituents and residents that live on that north end of town.
Okay. Gentlemen, either one of you got anything before I turn you loose?
No, sir.
I think I'm good, buddy.
Okay. Thanks a lot, guys. It's been Jason Forsythe, the street superintendent from Frankfort, along with Frankfort Building Inspector Sam Payne. Guys, thanks much. I greatly appreciate it.
Thanks, Ken.
That's going to do it for the show today. Our sponsors are Welty Custom Exteriors, Susan Casper State Farm Insurance, Sparrow's Florist and Greenhouse, Encompass Credit Union, Milner Healthcare, Ivy Tech Community College, Simple Time Antiques, along with the ClintonCountyDailyNews.com. Everybody, have a great day. Take good care of yourselves, and we'll see you back here tomorrow. Bye-bye.
You've been listening to Party Line on 1570 AM and 96.9 FM WILO. Join us again tomorrow morning at 8:30 for our live broadcast, then again at 5 p.m. for the Party Line replay. Party Line is a presentation of Casper Media, keeping you connected for over 60 years. Nobody talks more about Clinton County than WILO.